Get the work done this summer and book a skip bin with Bingo. Google Bingo Bins today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello and welcome to Dwayne's World. Great to have your company. And the lines are open, 1-300-736-736. That's the open line. Thanks to Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling Kia dealer. Werribee Kia and 1-300-736-736 is the number. Love taking your calls. That's what this show is all about. It's about what moves you. And we'll take plenty of your calls right throughout the program today, as we will all year. 1-300-736-736 and a few of your speckled texts. 0433 98 11 16, the speckled text, speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. Heaps to get to today. I want to talk about last night. I'm pretty pumped about what I saw from Essendon last night. I broadcast the game for Fox Footy and I liked what I saw, but I was, as I said yesterday on this program, I was glass half full on Essendon anyway leading into the season. I think they have got a pretty good list, and I think that the situation at Essendon with this handover of the coaching from John Worsfold to Ben Rutten. There's a lot of people saying, well, the succession plans and handover plans don't work. Well, as I said yesterday, there has been cases where they've worked perfectly. Paul Roos handing over to John Longmire. Paul Roos was a premiership coach. John Longmire, premiership coach. But I want to play, I want to take your calls on a couple of issues just off, which interests me about the Mask series so far. And I've been talking about this for a week or so. We hear all pre-season, the Mask series, they're practice matches and they're not about the result. The score doesn't matter. That's the party line from the clubs and the players we have on this program. They say the same thing, and fans, some say the same thing. And then St Kilda beat Hawthorn game one of the Mask series, and we hear the truth from the club and from the fans. It's good to have a win. And then we hear pre-game from the Gold Coast Suns. It's all about growth and it's not about the score. And then the Gold Coast smashed Geelong and we hear the truth. It was good to have a win from the Gold Coast. Essendon beat the West Coast last night. And what do we hear? Yep, we hear it was good to have a win. So I'm asking the question, 1-300-736-736, is there something in having a win in the pre-season competition? Because I've been on this for a while. I reckon there is. Some people don't necessarily want to talk it up, but I reckon I'm asking Carlton fans as well, who play tomorrow against Fremantle. Brand new coach for Fremantle, Justin Longmuir. I reckon if you asked him for the truth, he'd be saying right now, it will be good to have a win. Carlton have a relatively new coach, David Teague. I reckon if you asked him, if you put truth serum into David Teague, I reckon he'd be saying the same thing. It'll be good to have a win. I reckon for both clubs and their fans, it is going to be good to have a win if you're a Carlton fan or a Fremantle fan. 1-300-736-736, Blues fans. Is that the way you're looking at it tomorrow? Are you a bit worried about it? What are you expecting tomorrow? I know we've got a big one tonight coming up with the Vics versus the All-Stars. We'll talk about that in the next hour. And Terry Wallace is going to talk about it for an hour as well. So looking forward to getting to that one with Plough as well. But I'm one of the few who thinks there is something worthwhile still in a preseason win. Blues fans, does tomorrow mean anything to you? Be handy, I reckon, when you look forward to the rest of the Mask series as well, be handy for North to have a win, I reckon, against Sydney in their second Mask series game next week. And imagine the hype at Moorabbin. Imagine the feel-good mood at Moorabbin heading into round one if the Saints beat Collingwood in their second Mask series game. Now, the Mask series probably doesn't mean anything to Collingwood, and it doesn't mean anything to Geelong, and it doesn't mean anything to Richmond. And it doesn't mean anything to the West Coast Eagles to have a win. But I reckon for a few teams, it actually means something. And I reckon if the Bombers beat the Cats in Colac in a week's time, off the back of that win last night, it's got to be huge for the Bombers. And if the Gold Coast beat the Crows in Adelaide next week, I reckon there's a bit in that as well. 1-300-736-736. I'm with Tim Watson on this, who said this morning about how important it was really for Essendon to have a good showing last night.
But you know what?
It's Ben Rutten did all the talking.
It's actually important.
It is.
It is really important. I was talking to some people yesterday because there's a whole group of fans, and this applies to every club in the competition. You just wait to see what your team's going to put out on the park early in the season through this March series. And then you get excited by what you see or you get disappointed by what you see, and you may read too much into it based on that. But I think Essendon fans would have come away from that game last night and thought, hang on a minute, you know, we're going to be okay this season. We're going to be all right. A
little bit of Tim Watson from breakfast this morning. Here's what I said about the Bombers myself yesterday. I'm one of the few who actually is glass half full on Essendon. I know there've been changes and leadership changes, and there's been people are sceptical at the moment about this coaching handover from John Worsfold to Ben Rutten. But, you know, despite some succession plans failing, you know, I've seen it work too. Paul Roos to John Longmire, Paul Roos premiership coach, John Longmire premiership coach at Sydney. So it can actually work if you've got the right guy taking over from you. We don't know if Ben Rutten's going to be the right guy yet, but they can work too. I'm still glass half full on Essendon. I think they might succeed in 2020.
Essendon's going to be one of the big talking points all year, and Tim talked about it this morning. We're all talking about it today because of last night's performance. Who's going to have the last laugh, do you think? Here's Kane Corns 2 weeks ago on Essendon.
The club already has a questionable coaching succession plan, which I hate. Its best players are injured and he wants out. That's Danaher. They got the longest injury list in the competition, and its best player is sidelined, as I said, Joe Danaher, and he wants to jump ship to Sydney. I'm more pessimistic than Worsfold and the Bombers. It's been 15 years since this once proud club has won a final. It can't afford to make it 16 years. They are the club that I'm most concerned about ahead of the season opener in 5 weeks.
And here's Kane Corns again reloading against Essendon this morning.
And nothing that I saw last night has changed my mind. I only watched the first half. I went to bed early because I got to do breakfast radio. But they look good, as expected. But it is February still, isn't it? 28th of February. So I did read during the week on the AFL.com. They've had 15 surgeries in the off-season. Still think it's going to be a pretty average year for the Bombers. But let's factor in the fact that West Coast were missing, I don't know, 5 out of their best 10. Let's say Elliot Yeo's not there, McGovern's not there, Shepherd's not there. There's some key players out of that West Coast lineup. So I'm not getting carried away with that performance. But they surprised me. I didn't think they'd perform as strongly as they did. But I'm still really concerned about Essendon.
A little bit of Kane Corns going again this morning. Yeah, they didn't have McGovern. They didn't have Elliot Yeo, the West Coast. They didn't have Andrew Gaff. And they didn't have Brad Shepherd. But Essendon didn't have Dyson Heppel, Jake Stringer, Adam Saad, Tom Bell Chambers, Cale Hooker, Patrick Ambrose didn't play. Connor McKenna, who Champion Data rate as the number one player on the Essendon list when you look at their prospectus for 2020, he didn't play either. And he's back in Australia, so there's a bit of a story evolving there that Connor McKenna could well be available again soon. And they didn't have a bloke by the name of Joe Danaher. 1-300-736-736. Let's take a few of your calls. This is going to go all year. Who's going to have the last laugh, Bomber fans, you or Kane Corns? And is there something in having a pre-season win? Because I reckon Essendon fans woke up feeling really good about themselves this morning, like the Saints did after their win over Hawthorn, and they will do if they have a win over Collingwood. And like the Gold Coast, players would have woken up feeling good about themselves after the win against Geelong. Joe in Adelaide, welcome to you, Joe.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. I hope you're well, mate.
I'm good.
Excellent. I'd have to agree with you on the pre-season. I think it's a bit of a get-out-of-jail-free card when people go, oh, you know, it's just a pre-season game. We don't care about the result. If you've got teams like Gold Coast and the Kangaroos that are preparing some youngsters through the pre-season and you tell them, like, if you're disciplined enough and you get a win in the pre-season, this is what you can capitulate into the normal season. So I personally think it's having a win in a pre-season is a lot better than losing because, you know, you can show the younger players what hard effort means and it can usually transpire into the full season. That's my point of view anyway.
Absolutely, 100%. Thanks for your call, Joe. Look, Port Adelaide's the same. I didn't want to brace Port Adelaide, but they were in exactly the same boat. They actually needed to have a win in my eyes, and I think in Port Adelaide and Ken Hinckley's eyes, they needed to have a win round one of the Mars series as well, as much as they probably didn't want to admit that going in. Lucas in Tasmania. Welcome to you, Lucas.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, as a Bombers fan, I mean, 16 years, going into 16 years, not winning a final, obviously it's disappointing and had many setbacks. But all the criticism of Werswalder, especially, I mean, 15, you know, we get wiped out, and 16's a nightmare. 17, he takes to the finals. 18, we're a game out of the finals. 19, we make the finals. I mean, as Werswalder been that bad? I mean, the development, I think McGrath's coming on pretty well. I think Langford's showing a bit. I think Darcy Parrish is coming on pretty well, especially with Danaher being depleted the last couple of years. I actually think Werswalder's done a pretty admirable job. I mean, what's your thoughts?
No, Darling didn't play last night as well. There's another one for the West Coast Eagles, and I don't think the West Coast Eagles needed to have a win. Richmond don't need to have a win, and there's a few teams. Brisbane didn't need to have a win against Port Adelaide, and Geelong didn't need to have a win against the Gold Coast. But no, I think for the Bombers, it was important. And I think Tim kind of hit the nail on the head this morning. I think for their fans and their belief factor, you look at the history and what you're coming off. That's why it's so important for Saints fans as well. I mean, Saints fans, they're too nervous to believe that they might be on the improve. I reckon Bomber fans are in the same category, Lucas. You're kind of too nervous to believe that this might actually work. I mean, you know, Dylan Shield, Devon Smith, a few of these players who've been on the list now 3 and 4 years, you've got a forward line that might actually even work without Joe Danaher. So, I mean, there is some upside there, Lucas, and you've got to dare to believe rather than fear the belief factor, Lucas.
No, absolutely. I mean, I've signed up as a member again. I'd be disappointed with anything finishing outside the top eight.
Yeah.
I think the list, especially the age bracket, now I think the list is in pretty good shape. I know we've had injuries, but I dare say there's a lot of clubs behind the scenes who the talk of the injuries hasn't maybe been as public as what it has at Essendon. Yeah. I dare say they're not the only club who's had a bait of injuries this off-season.
Thanks for your call, Lucas. So we'll take a few. 1-300-736-736. We'll talk about tonight's game a little bit later on in the program with Terry Wallace, and might even talk about it in about half an hour's time, because there's a few issues just bubbling around on tonight's game, including who starts in the centre for the opening bounce. I want to talk to you about that later, but let's talk about this pre-season first. Leon in Caulfield, welcome to you. Leon?
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne, look, I really appreciate the love you gave the Bombers before. I think we've had a rough season, a lot of critics everywhere, and it really was important for us to just have a good showing. The fact that we're ahead of the end really didn't mean that much, but we saw, you know, Phillips have a good hit out in the ruck, and I thought that was really important to the group, and really a couple of good signs from younger kids. And I know that the Eagles had a few out, but I think we had a few important players out as well. And really, I couldn't be happier, to be honest.
Thanks for your call. We'll take as many as what have come through. We've got a few on the line, so let's keep taking calls. Craig in Perth, welcome to you, Craig.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. I agree with you. I think some teams need to have that win, but I also look back, you know, the year that West Coast won the flag in 18,
yeah,
the pre-season, they got beaten by Fremantle by about 80 points,
yeah,
and everyone was jumping off them and saying they're going to finish the bottom, and they turned around and won the flag. So there's two sides to it, I think.
No, absolutely, 100%. And West Coast didn't need to win last night, and even though they had a few out, it's not really an indicator of the kind of season that the West Coast are going to have. They're going to be up there again, and they'll be a contender again. I just see this light at the end of the tunnel situation with a few teams, and they need that kind of victory last night. Looking, you know, to talk a little bit more about the Bombers maybe a bit later on, because I want to take as many calls as possible, and quite a few are coming through. So we'll talk a bit more in depth about last night as our first caller asked very shortly. But let's take a few calls about this preseason, and then we'll maybe go into last night in a bit more depth. Mark in Bentley, welcome to you, Mark.
Yeah, hi, mate. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Every fan wants their team to win. So whatever you're playing, whether it be a grand final, whether it be a preseason, we all want to see our team win. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I actually can barely engage with the footy at this stage of the season. I, you know, every side is flying at this stage of the year. Everyone's going to make finals. We've got the best coach. Everyone's super fit and cut. We all hear the same thing. And you know what, Dwayne? At the end of round five, there's going to be three or four teams who won't have won a game, and they'll be and their season yep. will be over. So I cannot. I really struggle to engage with the footy. I watch it, sure. I want to see my team develop and all the rest of it. But you know, when the rubber hits the road, that's round one, mate, and that's when we start to get serious.
Yep, fair enough, Mark. Appreciate your call, Kevin in Melton. Welcome to you, Kevin.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Good, thanks.
I'm looking at it from a different view. I think the teams win that have a point to prove, as in West Coast knocked Essendon out of the finals last year, so they go in a bit hungrier. St Kilda, Hawthorn always sort of beat St Kilda, so St Kilda want to prove a point. Does that sort of make sense?
Absolutely it does.
And I'm thinking Collingwood's going to beat Richmond, because I think a lot of Collingwood people thought that Collingwood should have made the grand final, but so they're going to go in hungry. I just see it that way, I think.
Yeah, Sunday's going to be an interesting game, because I know that the win or the loss between Collingwood and Richmond on Sunday doesn't amount to anything when the main season starts. But I think to the fans, it does mean a lot. And I think to some players who are trying to prove themselves, it does mean a lot. When you delve into last night a little more, when you think about what's going through the mind of, say, and Aaron Francis last night, he looked good in defence for the Bombers. It was important for, I reckon, Aaron Francis to get a good game under his belt and be a really solid part of a backline that held up late, especially when Hurley ended up going off. You look at a guy like young guys like Harrison Jones, who looked okay. You look at Irving Mosquito, who got the ball a couple of times and looked okay. The Irishman McBride, he actually looked okay in defence as well. It's not just about the Zach Merritts of the world who look good, or Darcy Parrish or McGrath. It's about Andrew Phillips comes into the team. He's a new guy, comes in, and he looked pretty solid in the ruck. So, you know, it's not just about the Devon Smiths, who we know what we're going to get from Devon Smith and Dylan Shield. We know what we're going to get from Zach Merritt. He's your best and fairest winner from last year and got the most votes in the Brownlow. We know what we're going to get from them when the main season starts. But it's those periphery additions that looked good for the Bombers last night. And I think that's important to fans, to see that kind of improvement in the periphery. Take a few more of your calls after the break. 1-300-736-736. I reckon a win in the preseason does mean something, even though everyone talks it down and all of a sudden they have a win in the preseason and suddenly they're talking it up. St Kilda, yeah, it was good to have a win against Hawthorn in their opening March series game. Port Adelaide was good to have a win over Brisbane. And I reckon for Essendon fans, that was exactly what Essendon needed at this point in time last night, especially with Ben Rutten looking as if he did the majority, if not all, of the coaching last night. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Plenty of your calls still to come. With Dwayne's World, brought to you by Open Line for Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling Kia dealer. And Dwayne's World for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. And Bingo Bins. Book a skip bin online with Bingo this summer. More of your calls next. Great to have you company wherever you might be listening. Taking plenty of your calls, as we will on this program every day all year. 1-300-736-736. I'll read out some of your speckled texts as well. Bruce in Parkdale, I'm coming to you first, but a couple of speckled texts. Dwayne, great show. Happy with the Bombers last night, but who do you think should get that last spot on our list? Interestingly enough, for those people unaware, last night Essendon played two guys who aren't even on the list. They're not even on their supplementary list or their rookie list. They played Bryn Teagle and Nigel Lockyer. So those two guys are fighting for a spot on Essendon's list. In a couple of weeks' time, there's a supplementary draft where they can be picked up. Now, Teagle's a ruckman, and Lockyer looked more like and I don't know a lot about them, but last night Teagle looked okay as a ruckman, and he's a big guy. And Lockyer, shorter, 190 centimetres. Teagle's about 200. Lockyer looked more like a mobile midfielder, half-back, half-forward kind of guy. So, to be honest, to answer your question, it just depends on whether Essendon whether they think they need another ruckman, or whether they need to another kind of ball mover guy. So that's the issue there as to who gets that last spot on their list. But, you know, both players, not even on the list right now, looked okay last night. Hi, Dwayne, I'm a Suns supporter. I reckon it's awesome to have a win. Brisbane lost a preseason match by 100 points in the early 2000s when they won the premiership in the same year. Settle down, Bomber fans. It means nothing. Jim in Ballarat. Another one, 2018, West Coast won the flag. They lost their preseason game against Fremantle by 10 goals, fielding a good side. I did that game in Perth as well for Fox Footy. Average teams play above themselves every season. Absolutely. In the preseason, that is the case, but there's quite a few coming through saying, as Bomber fans and fans of other clubs, they were pretty happy with the fact that they were able to get a win, especially, you know, with those players out. And quite a few are coming through on the speckle text. Hooker, Saad, McKenna, Stringer, Redmond, Bill Chambers, Heppel, Danaher, Stewart, Cutler. Another one coming through from Mark, who asks, the membership depth of clubs, they want wins in pre-season. Wonder if this will lead to a spike in membership at the Essendon Football Club today. So quite a few coming through on the bent that it is good to have a pre-season win, which is what I've opened this program about, and we'll take a few more calls about. Bruce in Parkdale. Welcome to you, Bruce.
Welcome, Dwayne. I reckon I'm a Saints supporter, so a win sells you hope. But, you know, your recruits are doing that, they've improved the game plan. So it's all about hope and try and get those members that are sitting on the fence to sign up. And also, it also shows Alistair Clarkson's pulled out of tonight because he's obviously not happy with the way Hawthorne in the pre-season. So they do mean things to the coaches and the players.
Yeah, and
the supporters.
And he's pretty big on his focus with his players, Alistair Clarkson. He doesn't want to be seen to be neglecting the pre-season build-up for the Hawks by being distracted by the Victoria v All-Stars game tonight. So I agree with you, Bruce, 100%. There's the interesting part for... Are you still there, Bruce? As a Saints fan, so you're pretty happy to be positive about the season off the back of a win over Hawthorn. What if the Saints beat Collingwood in your second Mars Series game? How much would that mean to fans to win both?
To me, it would hopefully mean that we're going into the season in form and ready.
Mm.
I think our first game's away, so...
Yep.
Hopefully two good pre-season things give you the hope that we're not just going away and come back with the excuse that we've played away, so therefore that's why we haven't won. It gives you expectation that we are at our straps and ready to go. So that's why a win against Collingwood would be really good.
Yep.
Not so much tonight because we played Hawthorn last week, but, you know.
Yep. No, I appreciate your call. Plenty coming through on the speckle text. Take a few more of your calls after a quick break for news. This is the lunch hour for Subway's Mediterranean range with four craveable flavours. 1-300-736-736 if you'd like to join me. Another one through on the speckle text. Dwayne, Blues won the preseason cup and the wooden spoon in the same year in the Fev days. Cheers, Ross. And a few coming through about the forward line for the Bombers, saying that they don't think that the forward line is going to be able to function in 2020. But I'm actually still glass half full on Jaden Laverde. He gets his hands to a lot of balls and nearly marks a lot of balls, and his kicking hasn't, it's only 50-50, but if he can fix his kicking and become a 60% goal kicker, a 65% goal kicker, and if he can just hold those marks for a split second more, then I think he's actually going to be a really good player. Jaden Laverde, and he's another one that's been on the list for a while now, so it's taken a bit of time to develop. And Sean McKernan just keeps surprising everybody. I mean, he just keeps on keeping on, Sean McKernan. Now, he's not Joe Danaher at his best, and he's not Wayne Carey, Sean McKernan, but he's still been pretty good for the Bombers, and sometimes a guy like Sean McKernan needs to be given some credit for doing a good job under extreme circumstances. As you know, the Bomber fans are always waiting. Oh, Joe Danaher's back. Joe Danaher's going to come back. Well, Essendon need to create a really competitive forward line for at least the first half of the season, if not forevermore, maybe without Joe Danaher. So it was pretty big for them to kick a reasonable score last night. 1-300-736-736. Back to your calls and your text straight after the break. You're with Dwayne's World. You're with Dwayne's World. Crazy Little Thing Called Love is probably the appropriate play on, given we're talking about how much you love having a win in pre-season, even if everybody says before the game the result doesn't matter. After you win, the result ends up being said as something that is important. Mosquito, pen him in for a round one debut. Dwayne, Mad Bombers fan, Andy in Traralgon. Yeah, he looked good when he got the ball He's a live wire. He's inspiring. He knows where the goals are. He's had a year in the VFL now, so he's had a year to mature Irving Mosquito. And to see him being made to do run-throughs after the game last night on a lonely deck in WA was a little bit sad, but at the same time, it probably shows the commitment that he's got. 1300 736 736. Going to have a chat to Adelaide 36ers coach Joey Wright very shortly as well. There's a bit of civil war happening at the Adelaide 36ers at the moment. Kevin White, one of their co-captains, has put out a few tweets. I won't read the tweets, but they've been very critical of the coaching style and very critical of player well-being at the Adelaide 36ers and the way that the players were motivated this season. And the Adelaide 36ers have put out a press release, a club statement, since the Adelaide 36ers are investigating comments made in tweets from co-captain Kevin White. The club takes the allegations seriously and will investigate further as part of an ongoing review. No further comments will be made until the conclusion of the review. Joey Wright, who's been great to this program, I've got a good relationship with Joey. He's been one of the all-time great operators in the NBL. He's a NBL championship winner with Brisbane. Might see if we can get Joey Wright on a little bit later on this hour and have a chat to Joey Wright and give him some right of reply. But a couple of more calls on this first. Mark in Preston, welcome to you, Mark.
Hi, Dwayne. How are you today, buddy?
Good, thanks.
Did you ever see Shawshank Redemption, the movie?
I have, yes.
Yeah, no, it's one of my favourite films, and it talked about hope and how dangerous it can be. And I guess it's a very interesting topic because, to me, you know, as long as supporters can always see the forest for the trees, it might be worse to get that false expectation and, I guess, then get absolutely obliterated in round one. So I guess I'm probably more on the side of not really reading too much into it, unfortunately. But I guess everybody has their own opinion, I guess.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you look at the performance of a couple of players like that last night, Braden Ham probably doesn't know what his level that he can achieve is just yet. So he's got doubts in his own mind as to how good he can be. And then he plays like he did last night, and he thinks, hang on, I might be okay at this level. So I'm different to you in that respect, Mark. I think the player himself needs a performance like that and a win like that to maybe grow his own self-belief. Aaron Francis, who's, you know, had a rocky road, Aaron Francis, but he plays well last night, and he might think to himself, hang on, this club's going somewhere, and they're going somewhere with me in it, playing some good footy. So his belief factor grows, and his own belief as to the level he can achieve grows. Now, that doesn't happen at a Richmond because they've won a couple of flags in recent times, and a preseason win is not going to equate to the growth of a belief factor. But there was a point where Richmond went through the same process, where a lot of their players would have gone through the same process, where it might have been one performance or one win or one little sign that, hang on, I'm okay at this level. I can play at this level and my club is going somewhere. And that's the belief factor I'm talking about with Essendon right now. You take little steps first. So, yeah, it might mean nothing and it might be false hope and they might end up finishing in the bottom four on the ladder. But I just like the fact that the growth of hope can actually grow a person into the person that he ends up being, as opposed to, you know, growing false hope and getting smacked and hit around the ears and being told, well, there's only pre-season, so that performance last night doesn't prove anything to anybody. I think it does prove some stuff to players personally in the pre-season. Appreciate your call, Mark. Richie and Glen Iris, welcome to you, Richie.
Hey, Dwayne, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Mate, I just don't see the point in having a pre-season competition. You know, like, why do we play these games? If we're caring about the players, let's give them some space, let's give them some air, let them finish the season prior, everyone starts later in their pre-season preparation. And come round one, everyone's equal. We're all starting at the same time. You have a look at it now. Everyone's got different objectives. Richmond, when they put a team out, got a completely different objective to what the Suns are putting out. So it's not even a fair playing field. And as everyone said, you take different opinions away from it. Some have got hope. Some say it doesn't matter. Just get rid of it and start round one. Everyone's fair, square and even. Give some space to the AFLW so they can actually play a longer season maybe prior to Christmas, right across the summer, and you've got a nice fit between the AFL and the AFLW.
I agree giving the AFLW some space is the right way to go because it does get lost in the wash when the men start. But players are going to want to have two preseason games anyway, Richie, and the fans are going to want to see them. And you've got to play, what, internal practice games anyway, and fans are going to want to see those. Fox Footy want to broadcast them. The AFL wants to generate some revenue. And Marsh, who sponsor this community series, are giving that revenue as well. So, look, if teams are going to play two preseason games against themselves or have scratch matches and the fans want to see them and Fox want to broadcast them and sponsors want to sponsor them, I think it's a pretty good dynamic right now. Now, starting the AFLW season earlier to give it more clean air, that's something that can be done as well. But I like the fact that two's about right, to be honest, and I like the fact that Fox Footy are broadcasting them because I like seeing them and I like broadcasting them and I like getting a good eye on teams before round one.